Hello, welcome to Kitchen Curiosity, the podcast that delves into the people, ideas and innovations of the global food service equipment market. I'm your host, Radford Chancellor. And for the first time in, 3 years of doing the podcast, I'm actually doing a collaboration today with another podcast based in Germany. So I'm under a bit of pressure, but I'll try and be professional. And that podcast is called Kuchenschnack. Well, Tom will explain it properly. It's a German language podcast and it's powered by MKN. So today we've actually set up the microphones here at MKN's headquarters, corporate headquarters and manufacturing site in Wolfenbüttel. I think that's correct. So MKN have been here, they've just celebrated their 80th anniversary, and it's one of the world's leading manufacturers of prime cooking equipment, and one of Germany's top family-owned companies. They've supplied some of the most prestigious kitchens in the world, including Sydney Opera House and the Burj Khalifa. I've just finished a factory tour, and I have to say I was really impressed. I mean, it's like something I've never, ever seen before. The size of the equipment, the technology behind it, and the processes that they're going through. And I'm going to sit down now with the two guests I've got. I've got Wayne Bennett from the UK, which a lot of people know, and I've got Tom Klein from Germany, who's the sales manager for Bavaria. He's their culinary ambassador, and he's also podcast host. So hello to you both.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So my first guest, a lot of people in the UK will know, and probably internationally as well, in Dubai and things like that, is Wayne Bennett. He's the regional vice president of the territory. He's highly respected. He's an ex-food service consultant, and he's been in our sector for a long time. He's a member of CEDA, FEA. I believe you're on the FEA panel board. Welcome to the show, Wayne. How are you?
Thanks, Radford. Very well. Yeah, thanks for coming over to Germany as well.
Yeah, well, thank you. We've had a pleasant journey this morning.
It was fab.
So before we get into the heavy metal, if you like, tell us about where your career started. Because I know you're Southampton-based, Portsmouth-ish that
yep.
way.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. When you went to school, where did that all start?
So actually, originally, Brad, I, as you know as well, I grew up in London.
Right.
One of my first jobs was into the food service consultancy sector.
Right.
So I started off many, many moons ago on the drawing board and CAD.
Okay.
So from a technical aspect, so it was food service consultancy that led me to where I am today. And actually, even back then, I worked with MKN, so the synergy and link went full circle.
But it was a big food service consultancy.
It was a big
it
food service.
It was a market leader, basically.
It was, yes, it was.
So It
was with Tricon. So I started in the drawing office, worked my way through to a consultant, and then I relocated to the South Coast. At that time, I went into distribution, worked for some distributors, and then ended up working in the manufacturing side. So I've sort of covered all three segments of our marketplace.
Okay. And did you always, when you left school, you went just straight into food service design?
No. So originally I worked in civil engineering on design, transport for London.
But you had design skills, that was...
So from college and university, design background, design and illustration.
Right, okay.
So that's my link.
And that's kind of which led you into where we are now. Okay. So, we just had a wander around the factory, and it's an eye-opening experience, to be honest. If everyone hasn't been here, it's huge, and also the technology you're using is quite different to some of the other manufacturers that I've seen, and I've done quite a few visits. From your perspective, you look after UK and Ireland, and also, I think...
Yes, I'm involved with many markets, and I think that's probably because the UK consultancy sector is so vibrant and active in international markets, as you know yourself, Rad. So for me, my crossover is working for MKN, working for a family business, but working globally.
Okay.
So whilst I'm based in the UK, the role does take me to different market segments and different countries, fortunately.
Okay.
And that's part of what I enjoy.
And how important is it to bring people here?
Absolutely. I mean, like you today, Rad, when you come to the factory and you come to the home of MKN, then you understand the DNA behind the business and you really get to see it. I think people know the brand, but they don't always know what's behind the brand.
Of course.
And yeah, for sure, it's state of the art. Absolutely, yeah.
And before we get into some of the products, like what's a day job look like? I mean, what is your day job? What do you do as vice president?
Today, every day is different at MKN. Okay. We're fortunate enough working for a family-owned business. We are given a lot of responsibility and empowerment ourselves.
Okay.
So every day can be different. I can be on a site doing handover. I can be with a consultant working through a design. I can be bringing guests here. I can be at socials and networks. I can be at associations. It's a very varied role, and that's what I really enjoy.
Okay. But still also doing a bit of design and things like that and advising people on
we have some great tools, actually. Right? If you haven't seen our kitchen configurator, it's a great tool that we work with our clients, with our consultants, using MKN appliances and creating designs, bespoke suites, modular runs of equipment. And it's a great tool that we work with. So, yeah, front end, I keep my hand in, I would say.
And the UK team, I know because we're a UK-centric podcast, if you like, but it's grown quite a lot, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. When I took a short holiday from MKN, I've been back 6 years now, and there was two of us when I came back, and now there's nine. So we've grown, and we continue to grow. We're looking to grow again, and it's going in the right direction.
So let's talk about the equipment specifically, the Optima line, which is it's recently launched, I think.
Yeah, so we launched that 18 months ago in the UK.
Okay.
It was, we launched it slightly early. Saddened to say it was due to a situation. We lost one of our colleagues, and the timing was right to bring that product in.
Okay.
Around that. So,
yeah.
And it's been a great success, as you've seen today. Well, hopefully you felt
and
it and touched it.
You describe it as best ever.
Yeah, look, for me, it's the first digital modular line in the market. We talk digital and analog.
Right, okay.
This product is digital. It's full connectivity. It's not what the market's seen. And still today, the market's not used to. So it's an educational piece. So
every item is connectable?
We can measure consumption, energy, water usage on every item.
Okay. And how's that being adopted? Are people, obviously got your early adopters, people maybe taking it on board? Are people cautious or...?
It's an interesting one. I think from an ESG side, the consultants are obviously a prime adopter, but then you look at users, it tends to be the corporate market and the hotel segment. They really want to drive that to net zero.
Okay.
So just having traceability of what those machines can give and the information can give is something that's unique, and people understand that without having that data, you can't change habits. So if you've got that data, you can then speak with the chef to say, you don't need to leave that machine on all day. You can start to...
With one tray of peas in.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. We all know, we all see it.
I mean, what is the advantage? I mean, why would we connect a kitchen? I mean, you know, I know like our phones are connected and the cars are connected and, you know, what would be the benefit? I mean, energy, yes. Yeah.
It's also service. I mean, look, I think if you look at the car industry, your light comes on, you take your car in for service.
Right, okay.
Typically, the catering industry, we service every 6 months or every 12 months, or sometimes not at all.
Yeah.
With this traceability that we now have, we can start to define when the life cycle of components or when parts need replacing.
Okay.
So we come away from preventative maintenance and start looking at predictive maintenance in the future.
Right, okay.
Reporting of error codes. What happens today? A chef reports to his facilities manager. His facilities manager reports to a distributor. Distributor reports to the manufacturer. It's a very layered process.
Mm.
If we've got that connectivity, we can set the system up that it bounces a message to somebody, and we deal with the issue.
So they know here in Germany.
Full traceability,
or there's a potential problem.
Correct. Yeah. We components have a life cycle. What we want to do is actually replace that component before it dies.
Okay.
We can then also start to look at it. But yeah, it's also understanding the operating plan. A lot of issues we face is generally operational behaviour.
Yeah.
We can address those operational behaviour patterns a lot faster with real data.
And things like software updates, that sort of stuff can be done.
Absolutely. Programming, software updates. Who knows what's going to come in the future? We had a short conversation at lunchtime about AI. We don't know where it's going to go. What we do know is we're in a digital world today.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is digital. So we're future-proofing our equipment for that journey.
And more of what we've got is connected, isn't it? I mean, correct. Everything from phones to cars. And we've just bought two robots for the home to Hoover. And they're fully connected. they identify the pets. So, yeah, it's going that way. Well, it's gone that way.
Correct.
I think.
Yeah. And, so, and we're just a step ahead of that journey.
Okay.
That's because working for MKN, it's a family-owned business, so we don't think in quarters and years. We think in generations. The company invests long-term.
Yeah, yeah.
So and hopefully you see that today.
Yeah, there's no sort of drive for a share price. It's more about running the business.
Correct, yes. Yeah. Long-term relationships.
So sustainability, it kind of leads us, you know, on this subject, and everyone's talking about it, and I guess in part we've been forced to talk about it because of energy crisis, you know, geopolitical situation. But you've introduced Steel Plus product. What is that product, and what was the kind of driver?
The driver is, firstly, being what we are, is doing the right thing. We have to protect the world for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
The company's philosophy, and you'll see that, is actually about the next generation. And we can only do that by making small changes.
Okay.
So just changing materials at head office, in what we build our products out of raw material, we can reduce our carbon.
Okay.
Typically, we would say up to 40% okay. on a build of a product by just changing the stainless steel componentry.
Okay.
And Steel Plus is a material that has around 98% recycled content
right, okay.
made to that material. So it's the same stainless steel as you would see it.
Yeah.
It's just highly made from recycled
okay.
material.
And you can reduce the embodied carbon, if you like.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Rather than the operational carbon.
Yeah. The operational carbon comes later with measuring your energy and such like that.
And use, so, how they use it.
Correct.
And that sort of thing. Okay. And if you don't mind, could we just talk a little bit about the UK sector? I mean, obviously we're here in Germany, but you've got a couple of routes of distribution, I think. So you've got your distributors, and then you also partnered with Jetstick.
Correct.
As
yeah.
well. Is
yeah.
that a new relationship, or is that something you've been doing for a while? Or?
It's a couple of years old now. So okay. Jetstick is what we call as our wholesale relationship. But they are very strong in QSR and national account market,
okay.
which has different demands on it.
Yeah.
It's how you service the equipment, when you service the equipment, having the stock levels right. Jetstick provide that portfolio, that umbrella service.
And they're able to flex to that need, if you like.
Correct, yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And then obviously we've always worked very well and strongly in the consultant sector.
Yeah.
Consultants is a key part of our business. And then we work with the core distributor channels for that.
Okay.
So, but we've diversified over the years. We're in education, institutional, healthcare. So we're trying to make sure that where the product sits and where it's suited to, we're creating segments of our market, and we tend to have what we call a sales specialist in those segments.
Okay. And would you say, do you see more stronger sales? I mean, I don't want to give away too much of a competition, but like Cooklines, Combis, FlexiChefs, or is it Mix, or, you know?
Yeah, look, our strength as a brand is our portfolio. It's that mix of product. It's that crossover. It's someone from just operationally having one person to deal with to service and train, but then also for support and aftercare, there's also one company. So us being able to provide that thermal cooking solution enables us to provide that common level of support.
Okay. Because if I just think about, like, going back, like, 30 years, when I think about MKN, I think about Combis. Like, that's where I first started using MKN as a chef. But I don't know if that's just, I don't know, because I guess you've always done everything.
Yeah, actually, MKN started on the horizontal. So,
right, okay.
So the real history of MKN is horizontal cooking.
Right. I don't know where I've got that from, but that's what I'm kind of thinking.
That's because you're a chef.
Yeah. But I don't know if it goes back that far, I don't know. But
no, generally, we had a combi 30 years ago. That's when we started our journey in the combi market. So you would have been one of the first partakers of a combi.
That journey, yeah.
But yeah, for sure, if you go back 1946, where we started was modular equipment.
Okay.
And actually, back in the day, we made donut fryers and rotisseries. And in Germany, the Wurst, so where they actually, everyone's had a curry Wurst, even if you're not from Germany.
Yeah, okay.
So the holder for those we made as well. So
right, and then it's evolved. You've gone through.
Correct, yeah.
And the FlexiChef product, I mean, I've just seen I learnt this today, so sorry. But as I went around the factory, you've got a self-cleaning brat pan. I mean, FlexiChef, it's self-cleaning. I mean, that's fantastic.
This is a game changer.
This is a world first.
Yeah. I think...
I don't know who else has got it, but I don't know. Really.
I think you have to... We get compared to other products on the market.
Right.
Until you get hands-on with this product,
okay.
then you understand what these machines are capable of doing.
Right,
and
okay.
I'd invite anyone to do that. When you play with this machine And we know that.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. Why would you want to clean a
It's a it's a job everyone hates. Who likes cleaning? Yeah. Exactly. No one likes cleaning. So,
It's, I think it's a fantastic product. And just finally, so MKN, it's a fiercely proud family business. How, and you touched on it before, but how does that family structure, how does that structure change the way it works and its corporate outlook, and how does it impact on the UK?
Oh, look, corporate's an interesting word. So we're a global company. I think when you talk about UK, we tend to operate in 110 markets now. Okay. So whilst in the UK we are seen and positioned one way, we're a global player. That's what we are. World of Cooking is our strap line. That's what we do. So I think the world's becoming smaller.
Yeah.
And therefore the trends, the food styles are changing. I think where we're fortunate in the UK, Brad, and you know yourself, is that we don't have one typical dish anymore. So we have our typical English food, but it be Asian or Indian or Indonesian or South American. We tend to have everything. We have a real
mix,
hotbed of high-level culinary restaurateurs that all want to operate in and around London. Mm-hmm. And then actually what we get used for is the test bed for Germany.
Right, okay.
So what you tend to find is the trends come to from especially the North American chains will be tested in the UK, and then we'll go into Europe and further parts of the world.
Okay. Why? Because we're quite a demanding market, or?
We're linked to the Americans, our food culinary, our food culture, I think. And yes, for sure, we're demanding.
Oh, yeah, it is a demanding market, yeah. We expect everything tomorrow or today, like yesterday. And yeah. Okay. So stick around. Thank you for that. I'm going to go on and chat to Tom, but I'm going to invite you to come back
at
the end of the podcast. Okay. Cheers.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, so my second guest today is literally my partner in this episode. He's also a podcast host. So, hi, Tom, how are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm wonderful.
Good to meet you. And you're the regional sales manager for Bavaria. You're the culinary ambassador. And also, you've got your own, I think it's 5 years old now, your podcast platform.
Yeah, it's going to be 6 years and end of the year. So, it's 5.5 years already.
How do I say it properly?
The pronouncing in Germany is Küchenschnack.
Küchenschnack.
But my dialect is always special in Germany, not just on this podcast.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a different pronouncing for this. But if you want to say it properly, it's Küchenschnack.
Okay. Well, hello to the Küchenschnack listeners.
Yes.
And welcome to Kitchen Curiosity if it's the first time you're listening to us.
Yeah.
So, and it's great to meet you. So, Tom, just a little bit about your background, like before we get into the professional bit. Like, tell me a bit, like, go back to school. Where did you go to school? Where were you brought up? I know you live in Munich now, beautiful part of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually from the east part of Germany, so the former DDR, you know. And, you know, went to school, then I did a cooking experience, like apprenticeship, like a training. And after that, I was really into sales, you know. I want to be a sales manager at a hotel. This was my, as a chef, you know.
Okay.
I
want
to, you know, this was so my thinking. So I'm starting after my career as a chef, which I did in the east part of Germany, in the south part of Germany. And also I used to work 2 years in Los Angeles.
Oh,
and
nice.
After that, I did a school, like a business school, like a hotel school. And at this time, I created the idea to become a sales manager, but not for kitchen equipment, actually for hotel stuff. You know, working in a hotel, selling like weddings and stuff like this.
Okay.
This was actually my idea. And then,
events and things.
Yes, events and birthdays and stuff like this. And this was actually the ground idea. And then, I don't know, it brought me up to the kitchen equipment. And I don't know how it happened, but it's now 23 years ago.
And you've been here 20 years.
I've been here 20 years, yeah, at
this
MKN.
Unbelievable. Yeah. She must be happy.
It must be happy. it still feels like yesterday, you know, because I say what Wayne just said, no day is like the other. And it's maybe it explains a little bit all the titles which you just said, you know. It's a continuous moving and, you know, always forward.
And when did you move to Munich? I mean, we're 7 hours drive from Munich from here, but
I'm actually moved for MKN to Munich. You know, at the company I worked before, I lived in the west part of Germany in Düsseldorf, Cologne.
Yeah.
And I actually moved for MKN to Munich, and it was 700 kilometers and started completely at zero. And, you know, our CEO, Mr. Weber, always said, how does it work? A guy from the east part of Germany got success in the west part of Germany, and now he's moving to Munich. So what's wrong with this guy? This you know, it was always like 3 years were all at every meeting. What's wrong with this guy? And But, SSE, I'm still here.
Yeah. But you must love it. I mean, I'm jealous because that is my favorite part of Germany.
And yes, living in Munich is not just in Munich, in the south part of Germany is beautiful. But as Wayne said, it's not just Munich. It's not just the south part. I mean, it's a little bit Austria. It's a little bit in the middle of Germany. And within the podcast, it became like all over Germany already, you know, the German-speaking market. I'm with it,
And you're quite an athlete as well. You mm-hmm. took part in the half marathon here.
Yeah, I mean, like always, the story always starts with something good or something bad. Like 10 years ago, I went through a divorce, and you know, there was like, so what's going on in my life now, right now? You know, I got my little boy, and at this time, Wayne can say I got about 20 kilo more. You know, right, so okay. and I'm start running. I'm just like Forrest Gump, you know.
Right, okay.
I start running.
Just started running.
Yeah, and from a kilometer running became 5 kilometer and 10 kilometer, and then I did a half marathon. I did a marathon, and it ended up like the last, let's say, like the last seven years. It's really crazy. I consider myself like a triathlete, so I love doing long distance triathlon. So okay. I love to be for hours on the bike. I love to be for hours in the sea, and I love to be running like a maniac. And and this is actually what I love. And it's also not anymore a therapy for the divorce or anything. It's a therapy for work. It's where I get my inspiration for it, get my mind clear, because usually at swimming, it's hard to work on the iPhone. And so this is where I get my mind cleared and got new ideas. I got new inspiration. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this is where I find my, you know, my inner circle.
Your zen.
Yeah, my
love
zen.
It.
This is my zen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to do that, hey?
We all do.
Yeah, I need
to. And what you ask, actually, like the marathon in Wolfenbüttel, every September, there is, like every other city, you know, there is a running, like a running gig, like a running a club and something like that. And in September, there is the running here in Wolfenbüttel, and you can do 2 kilometers, 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, or even the half marathon. And I wouldn't say it's up to me, but maybe a little bit. Last year, we are about like 50 runners from MKN with our t-shirts and outfit like this. And it is still a strange thinking for me. It's still surprising me. Like this year at the Internorga, at the big exhibition, I called out on Monday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. I made a tweet, or I made a reel in the social media. I said, let's meet up at the Atlantic Hotel at the Alster, the big lake in the middle of Hamburg, and let's meet and have a run. And like everybody, oh yeah, Thomas is calling, we have to run. And like, I don't know what happened, but at this morning, it's about 50, 60 people.
No, you're joking.
Even from competitors.
Jesus.
You know, we met at the morning and we have a really fun run around the Alster.
And Wayne told me he even went on one of the runs, apparently.
And they have
did he lie to me? Was
the thing is, there are a couple people which wouldn't consider a runner, so because of the weight or whatever. And we got like 10 bikes. So the people which are not running in the morning, 6 o'clock before an exhibition, which will take 10 hours, they had a bike. So we got like, you know, they got bikes and runners. And this makes me a little bit proud, I would say.
Yeah,
it makes
you
me a little
be.
Bit
I think
proud.
That's fantastic. So I'm not sure my knees would cope. I'll be on a bike.
Yeah.
But, okay.
We got the scooter, you know.
Yeah. Horseback, whatever.
Anyway. Pony.
Someone carrying me on a little thing.
Trolley.
Chopping trolley, yeah. That'll be me. That's the night before. Yeah. Anyway. The culinary ambassador. So mm-hmm. what is that? Tell me what that's about.
You know, like you said, actually the main job, or let's say 80-85% of my work is doing the same like Wayne. So I have to take care of the clients. I have to take care of the consultants, our dealers. What I like the most is dealing and working with the chefs mm-hmm. because I'm a chef, so I like to be on one-on-one with the chefs. This is what I really love. And as the podcast started, it took about a year or something like that, that some people came up to me and say, oh, what you are doing, I'm following you, or I got interested, you know, I'm see what you're doing. And it's getting month after month, episode after episode, it's getting more. So people like attached to the Küchenschnack. Okay. More and more. And if you put out something on social media, if you put more out on the podcast, people even get more recognized
in
a good way and also on the bad way. So I, you know, it's not everything is happy sunshine, you know, from time to time I got hard times as well because I said something in minute 32, 7 seconds and people got like, what did you say there? But there was Patricia, mm-hmm. which is in our marketing. She came up like 2 or 3 years ago. She came up to me and said, Tommy, I don't know what it is, but you got something that the people following you. Mm-hmm. And if somebody says this to you, you're like, oh, yeah, come on, you know, I don't know, and something. And now I have to mention Mr. Weber again, our CEO, and he put me up like a year and a half ago, put me up into this office right above us mm-hmm. and said, come on in, sit in, and we have a chat. And he is, you know, a person which is very open-minded, forward-looking, and also critical as well. So okay. we have an open discussion. So what's going on with you guys? Mm. I see there is something going on. And even on my side, you know, I always feel bad like driving like 2 or 3 hours to people which are not in my area. Mm. I have to drive there because to take up the podcast and stuff. And this was actually the day where we created the name Culinary Ambassador in Germany, okay. Botschafter is right. the German word about this. And because this is actually the allowing for me, or this is actually the you know, like you, I may travel, I may do the podcast, and people, what I'm doing is now real. It's you know what I'm saying?
So you expanded your scope from regional salesperson, culinary ambassador, and then.
But I didn't change, or I didn't stop the other thing, like the sales. It was an add-on.
Because
most of the podcasts I'm always doing at night, the cutting, you know, because I need silence for this. I need, you know, if you want to get it together,
and you don't
know.
Emails.
Yeah, and even the preparation before I need it. This was actually the start of the culinary ambassador. And on top of this, they said, okay, we want to make you to a kind of face, cooking face from MKN. And I have no secrets. I have nothing to hide. I got a pretty face. No, I don't.
But they comment.
Yeah, they put me in the internet and said, okay, let's try. If somebody finds me ugly or whatever it is, so cut it out or whatever. And this is how it started. And after a year and a half, we can say, it's fun. I don't have any problems with that. MKN supported us and it works.
Fantastic. And that leads us on to the podcast, really. So the podcast has been around, you said
five and a half, 6 years, yeah.
Where did that start? And I noticed you're mm-hmm. doing quite a lot of episodes. I mean, you're constantly...
178, yeah.
Yeah, pushing mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. more and more content. So yeah, what was the...
Actually, it was... thank God, Corona. know, it happened. It's actually an accident at Corona. There was the one day we had a chat in the sales, and we have a chat with Corinna, our marketing head, and they said, oh, we want to do a podcast. And we got actually another guy coming in, which is a famous German sports moderator, sports speaker. And then I got a big mouth again and mm-hmm. Did the start with my colleague and one of my best friends, Oliver. We started a podcast called Küchenschnack, which means Küchen means kitchen,
yep.
and snack means in the north of Germany, it's like chatting, like chatter.
Oh, okay.
We're chatting
oh,
with each other.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just in the north of Germany. If you say in the south of Germany, in Munich, schnacken, nobody will understand.
Okay.
Or like you know, will understand,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
but no, don't
it's
know.
It's a really. Dialect.
Yeah, it's a dialect. It's like a dialect in the north. And together, it's like Küchenschnack, it's like kitchen chatter.
Klintop, yeah.
We started also an English-speaking podcast with this one, you know. So, and it was actually the start.
Okay.
And we did like the 100, the first episodes together. And then by time, Oliver became our sales director. And by that time, he couldn't say this anymore, what he was thinking. So we split. And this was actually for me the time where I thought, now it's over with the Küchenschnack, because
right.
we're battling each other, you know?
Yeah, everybody
knows us, and we are like brother and brother, or like best friends, you know?
We would say Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, it's like yeah. that's right. And I was thought that's it, because people like we are fighting, but the other thing happened, because I got more professional at the Küchenschnack, because I travel to people. I don't have to think for two people. I just have to think for my own.
It's probably easier.
It was easier. It was professional. It was more, it's not so funny anymore, I would say, but it's like a little bit more professional. And you know, if you prepare yourself, you know what you want to ask, you know what you want to say. And Oliver got a big talent. He didn't prepare at all, but on point he was ready.
Okay.
So this is his big big thing. And after that, it happened, and I said, okay, let's start with 5 episodes. We'll see what happened. And at this time, it just went up. It's not because I'm better. It's because the quality started getting better.
Okay.
And now it's like, yeah, I would say it's in our, you
What's
know.
What's your typical
German?
Guest? Look like
chefs. I'm looking for chefs. This is actually what I'm looking for. I have consultings, I have dealers, I have like I'm always saying to my guests, I want that you tell me your story and you feel comfortable in our podcast. It should be like your home, it's like your living room. If you feel comfortable, you are at home and you bring it up anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's
quite a big task, finding all those chefs.
Yeah, but the best thing is to have somebody on the podcast which never did a podcast before.
Yeah.
Because they got a little bit excited. They got a little bit, you know, oh, do I say everything
give
wrong?
Give them a voice.
Yeah, I give them the voice. And really, really strange things happened. You know, I have celebrity chefs on the podcast, famous celebrity chefs. And of course, it's good for the range. It's good for the followers,
of course.
But the best episodes are also always these episodes which nobody knows before.
Yeah, yeah.
And the compliment for myself is when these guys, after they've been in the Küchenschnack, visiting another podcast. this is for me, you know, this is luck for me, you know.
Yeah,
and it's good for them as well. And this is what I'm looking for. And, you know, to make the circle around, this is why I'm still the sales manager. And this is why I'm still in the sales circle.
Yeah.
And I got a call from my friend Uwe, which is taking part, which is the sales manager east part of Germany.
Yeah.
I got a call from Thilo, which is the sales manager in the north. I got a call from Vinny, which is in Cologne. And he says, oh, I met this one guy. He's fitting to you. You have to meet him. Drive there. And most of them, they know me.
Yeah.
And they know exactly what I'm looking for.
Okay.
MKN trusted me or trusts me. And this makes the circle around.
That's fantastic.
It fills up, yeah.
It's a real success, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, I got 178 episodes. I got like over 200 guests.
Yeah.
But I guess there are more chefs than 200, huh? There's a lot to my...
of course. And is there, when you're talking to chefs, is there like a common theme that you're hearing from them when they're telling you their story or, you know, I don't know.
I mean, the internet is bright big and everybody has his steps in the internet. So
okay.
I'm always a little bit prepared, sometimes a little bit more prepared. Sometimes I feel like a stalker. So I know a lot of...
Okay, so do your background.
I do the background and I am... also a big compliment for me if they're saying, where do you know this stuff all before, you know, yeah. and LinkedIn and Xing and social media. I always try to imagine what is their background, where they're coming from. But I stopped telling the whole story, like, oh, I did The Apprentice, I did this, I did this, I stopped this. I want to hear the real story, what's happening right now, or let them talk about certain dishes, let them talk about the kitchen, what is the private thing, and there are a lot of story coming out.
And do they open up? They open up and tell you private things? And
yes, yes.
Yeah? Okay.
Because, you know, we don't do like military stuff. We don't do a heart surgery. We're doing kitchen. This is what people should love, you know? Yeah, yeah. And of course, the peer group is to, or the ground idea of the Küchenschnack is, if you're in the kitchen as a chef mm-hmm. and you do a preparation, like cutting chives or cutting onions, like stupid things, maybe you hear nothing. Maybe you listen to music, or maybe you listen to spoken words. Yeah. I always like to, you know, a little bit spoken, a little bit chatting. And this was our peer group. We're looking for chefs which don't want to listen to music in the preparation. They listen to spoken words, like radio. And my time in America, like in the morning in the U.S., always they are talking in the radio. Nice. They're chatting hours and hours and say, what they're chatting about, you know? And with podcasts, it makes it more easier. This was the ground idea.
Just talking, yeah.
Yeah, and to get to them, to listen to them. And, you know, a little bit on the side, oh, there's MKN, you know?
This is,
you know, a little bit MKN from time to time, a little hint, you know?
Yeah, of course.
We have a nice oven, or where did you make the chicken? Oh, I make it in a combi oven. Oh, is it the flexi combi? Oh, yeah, it is. So, this is what I do. I love to do, you know?
Of course. And, you know, your culinary ambassador, you explain that. But is there any trends that you're seeing or you're expecting to see come through in the next few years? Are you seeing anything developing, or?
Yeah, I mean, the trends, it's they are coming and going.
Okay.
I mean, I have a famous chef, really famous chef in the podcast, and, you know, we got everything. We got cook and freeze. We got cook and chill. We got sous vide. We got this. We got, you know, we got the charcoal trend. Yeah. And it went out. And I listened to the last podcast with the guy from the hospital, which says 95% of fresh food, you know.
Yeah.
There's fresh food. Then there's, frozen is even better. And trends are coming and going. I mean, the big thing, what I hope, what I think for the chefs is they have to take the advantage of kitchen equipment. And we had a little lunch together mm-hmm. before, and I told you this with the butchers. Mm-hmm. Butchers are much more open-minded to cooking equipment. They're using programs. They're using, like, pictures. Yeah. They do the same program again and again and again. And from time to time, if I go to the kitchen and a chef, he asks me, where's 180 degrees during, you know? No, I don't want to have any time. Just 100 degrees. I do everything at 180 degrees, you know? And I hope that the new trend will be open-minded to cooking equipment, to professional cooking equipment. I mean, you don't have a BlackBerry anymore. Mm. You want to have the new iPhone. And this is what I hope and to see I wouldn't say a new trend, but, you know, to use what the every
to use the tools you've got.
The tools,
And maximize them, I suppose.
And maximize it. And this can even be a charcoal grill. You know, and this is what I hope, and this is what I kind of see, because, I mean, we don't have that amount of chefs anymore around.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you see that, is there a mix between electric and gas? Is electric is growing, I guess, more and more?
Yeah, I guess it's even faster, but I used to cook on gas.
Yeah.
And actually, I love cooking on gas, you know, the advantage of electricity, induction cooking range, FlexiChef, everything else is just even better. But the main problem what we have is we don't have the maintenance, you know, the guy which will repair gas. They don't be sad, but they're dying. All the old guys which are repairing the gas stove, they're dying, and there's nothing else coming up.
Yes,
That's actually our problem. So there is a switching to electricity, and it's cleaner, it's faster, it's smarter, everything you know, should be. But a little bit, I hope gas won't die. You know, so a little bit, I hope from time to time, especially in the south of Germany, you've been there before, you know, the big parts, from time to time, a little stuff is also nice, you know.
Absolutely. Okay, well, great. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
My first podcast host to to talk to and interview.
With German accent, so what else do you need?
So, really good. We'll take a short break.
Yes.
And then Wayne, although he was chipping in there, is going to come into a group discussion.
In every great kitchen, behind every outstanding dish, there's a standard that refuses to compromise. For 80 years, MKN has been setting that standard. As a leading specialist in premium professional cooking technology, their cook suites are the beating heart of some of the world's most celebrated kitchens. The MKN Optima, a true icon of the professional kitchen, reimagined. Modular, tailor-made, and built to last, it combines analog precision with cutting-edge digital control. And the Master line, designed and manufactured entirely in Germany, it's a cook suite as individual as the chef who uses it, with induction technology, seamless hygienic surfaces, and a performance that simply never lets you down. Add the revolutionary FlexiChef multifunctional appliance and MKN's connected kitchen digital management system, and you have a complete ecosystem built around one thing, your success. Engineered for performance, built for the future, designed for the best. MKN. Discover the entire world of professional cooking at mkn.com.
So welcome back. Now Wayne's coming back into conversation. You didn't really ever leave us, to be fair, Wayne, did you?
No.
Wayne Bennett from the UK and Tom Klein, who's the culinary voice of MKN here in Germany. So let's talk about the differences. Well, let's just start with the UK and Germany. I mean, obviously, there's the whole world and we can discuss that as well. Do you think there's a difference when you're dealing with a high-end customer, what the expectation is on the cooking equipment? From, say, your perspective, what are they looking for? And then, Tom, you know, what
we always find is that, especially on the high end side of the market, the customer thinks they know what they want, but then when you have the opportunity to bring them to the factory and you take them through some of the new technology, you steer them a certain way.
Okay.
I would say 99% of the time when I brought a high end customer here who was pretty fixated in what they wanted, they will leave here with different mindset.
Okay. So they come saying, oh, we want 620 grids and that's it, or correct, whatever it is, or,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I had a situation recently with a central production kitchen where the guy wanted FlexiChef, but then he wanted a bank of induction hobs. And it was a real large central production kitchen. And then when he left, he wanted multifunctional kettles and he wanted combis. He wanted what I would call real production equipment and coming away from pots and pans. And this is high-end feeding a stadia. So that's one end. And then the other end is when you're dealing with Michelin star chefs. They have certain expectations, but then it's because they're not so versed in their day job, you forget what they're doing. They're in the kitchen and they're in their world. Mm-hmm. And when you take them outside their world and they see new technology and they get to touch it, play it, and have it demonstrated to them, then they want that.
And they can see the value.
They can see the value of that.
Yeah.
So you have to go on a journey. It is a journey. Yeah. And that's the good thing about MKN is we're able to take those customers on that journey and introduce them to new technology because we're always evolving.
Okay.
If you look at MKN the last few years, product after product after product, last three or four years, big steps in new technology.
Mm. I guess the main difference is, and this was interesting what you said before, like the chain business and the big things which coming from America and going to the UK and then to Germany. I remember the time in Germany before Subway and KFC. You know, I saw Subway in Los Angeles and said, oh, there's a sandwich, nice. And I said in Germany, oh, that you can make a sandwich. And everybody, what is that? What is it? And now you have Subway all over the place.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we don't have this chain business in Germany like you guys have in the UK or even in America. And this is why we are thinking much more globally now. You have the colleague David, which used to work also in the south of Germany as a key account manager in Germany. Now he is getting more and more international.
Okay.
So this is the big changing, you know, which we are getting in Germany now, so that we are more and more in chains and big companies. Not just we have this one company in Nuremberg, in Munich, in Berlin. They're getting more and more organized, and also like a chain or like a, you know, franchise, something like this.
Yeah.
This is what we are learning and getting more and more even in Germany.
I think it's a cultural thing, isn't it? It's a lot more. I mean, I can just talk about where I've traveled in Germany. There's a lot more family kind of businesses.
Yes.
With, you know, real quite high end, actually, hotels and things like that. Or,
I mean, we have chains in Germany. Everybody knows Nordsee, the fish stuff, you know, like this is the biggest. They are actually working from day one on with German, with MKN Fryers.
Okay.
Or with MKN, like, you know, the griddle plate and something like this. We got chains, but not so many.
Yeah.
And not over Germany, you know, not in a different market. So everything is going in. Now it's changing.
Okay.
It's changing. We feel this, and this is why we adjust even in the sales in Germany, because it's a traditional thing. You're totally right.
Yeah. But there's been some UK brands actually of, like The Alchemist, for instance, they've set up in Berlin.
Yeah.
A location. And there is some similarities, I think, between the British and German culture in, you know, some of the eating habits, and certainly the love of beer.
Yeah.
It's a universal.
But I guess English still advanced.
We're still the champions of that.
Yeah, exactly. And Jägermeister. It might be made here, but we could drink it.
Not in the quality, in the amount. You know?
The volume, yeah.
Quantity over quality.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, I mean, Tom, you know, you do... few different roles at MKN, and you know, we're doing this podcast together, and obviously Wayne represents Intash as well as the UK. When we talk about like manufacturers and cooking equipment and you know, all of that sort of bit, do you think that there's more opportunity for more collaboration across our industry, across countries, you know, across continents, like working together, be that consultant, dealer, people like us, trade associations? I don't know. Are we doing that well, or could we do that better? Or
I think we could be better at all.
Okay.
And the question is not anymore, even that we are doing now a German and English podcast, it's not that difficult anymore to understand for anybody, because if anybody don't understand German or don't understand English or Japanese or Russian, whatever, there are so many things to translate with the AI, you know, with everything, what's going to happen. So the problem in the past was, it's always, you know, the understanding was much difficult. And right now it's getting much, much more easier day by day with recipes, with, you know, cooking equipment, with translation of the combi oven and everything. Mm. So there will be a lot of cooperation. Another thing is social media. I mean, it's so fast that I see certain trends or certain things which are in England or in America or in, I don't know, in this South Europe, wherever, Australia, or even in Germany, and you guys see it. So it, you know, I want to have this. I saw this, I want to have it.
Yeah.
So it's getting much more faster, and there will be a cooperation on every platform in the next couple of years within. So,
yeah, I agree with what Tom said there. I think we could do it better, but I'm seeing rapid advances in that now.
Okay.
I mean, even last week, I was at FEA council meeting. FEA under FSEM, which is the global association, spoke with the guys at HKI about an issue, solved the issue. HKI is the German equivalent, for those who don't know.
Right.
So FEA spoke to HKI, we found a solution. So I would say we are getting better at it.
Right, okay.
Of course, I mean, MKN is fairly good because we work for one company. We're all employed. We're not subdivisions. We work for MKN, everyone around the world.
In lots of different countries.
And lots of different countries. So we tend to have WhatsApp groups, and we share information. We have different sales groups. We have chef groups. We are collaborating. We come together a couple of times a year as a team
right.
from around the world. Okay. So the guys from China, the guys from America, the Europeans, we come together. So we share ideas.
And is it the same across the world that you sell through distributors, basically? That's
typically the MKM model is route to market. Is we are our distributor channels. It's something, the core belief in the business. We are a distributor. They represent us in the regions.
Okay.
We are a core manufacturer. They support us in the market. But I'm going to jump in there and just explain that a little bit more, because in certain markets of the world, we sell a box and the services are provided. When I mean services, the warranty, the training, the after, dealt with locally.
Of course.
The UK is slightly different, the UK model. Mm-hmm. It's slightly different where the manufacturer provides that service. But in certain parts of the world, that's not the case.
Yeah.
So it's a slightly different model.
Expectation in the UK, probably.
Yeah, the expectation is very high in the UK.
Yeah. Okay. So talking about I want to talk about Connected Kitchens, and you've got your Connected Kitchen platform. There's a lot of, and I also want to touch a little bit on AI, because we talked about it before, but there's a lot of data there, and it can be a bit overwhelming. And I'm, as a consultant, thinking, what do we do with this? Like, what's the point? I mean, maybe you can educate me.
Yeah, look, I mean, you're absolutely right, Rad, and there are platforms, and everyone runs to the start line with this particular topic. We actually did sit back. We decided that we would understand what the market needs were. So whilst we was developing, we sort of researched to find out what was needed. And what you'll hear from us is that we talk quite a lot about an open API platform.
Okay.
And what that means is that our clients can decide what data they want to take from our platform and maybe drop it in their own dashboard.
Okay.
So if you are a corporate client, for instance, that have security and they have the plant room being monitored and the cold rooms being monitored, they might just want to know certain things from that. So our platform's fully open that they can just take those codes out and monitor it. So it could be when the machine's on, when the machine's off, how much energy it's using, and if there's any messages coming from the machine.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be, of course we do an all-encompassing package, but the customer can define what they want from that.
What data they want.
Yeah. And you'll see actually some good news. We've been shortlisted for the Food Service Equipment Journal award for that particular platform in the forthcoming week. So yeah,
in the awards.
So please vote for us, Rad.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and
from your perspective, Tom.
I got a really, a really straight opinion to this, because I made the same example with the iPhone before. You got the iPhone as a hardware, and you need a software for the data, and I would say, even MKN or our competitors or other companies, we are actually building machines. We are building hardware. And it's not actually our main competence to build a software for this.
Yes.
You can get it from us, like he said, if you want just to have the HACCP, if you want to have the data or something, you can get it from us. But the world's not ending at MKN. You have the dishwashers, you have the cooler, you have, which the stuff which is coming in, the stuff which is getting out. So there must be a different platform, an app, whatever. And there must be somebody else which sets up this platform. And the data you need to know, even, take all the guys which you had already in podcast, take the data, put it in there, and you have the data there. But if you want to have a certain data from the company, like MKN, you can use our software. But actually, what you need is an overview over your whole house. And even maybe you have, a fitness, or you have rooms, you have lightnings, whatever you need. And this is actually the future. And over there will be happening something in the future very fast, even with AI, let's say. We have the data, we have it open, like Wayne said. But it's actually not the job from the car industry to set up software for the cars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this is even at the cooking equipment. We provide something, but it's just a small thing for the whole thing what you need.
Yeah.
This is my opinion.
Good opportunity.
Yeah.
Certainly got me thinking there. As we walked around the factory, it's pretty impressive. There's some massive investment going on in that factory. What are you most proud of in the manufacturing?
The new microphones, which I got for the Cushion Schnack. I mean, there is so much changing going on in the factory that you can even say, oh, this is this machine, or this is this laser, or this is this. There's so many things going on. For me personal, as a chef and as a sales person, is actually the result, what is coming out.
Okay.
And the coming out is, in the end of the day, is how fast we can deliver.
Okay.
You know, so like you said this, we put the new Optima line on the out. We have the old Optima still on the, on the bill. So we are still on action. You can still buy it as well. And the thing is how fast we can deliver. And with the spare parts, you know, with all the systems that you can get very fast, within just a couple of hours, you can get spare parts. This is the result of a company which is family owned and from the outside a little bit small, but delivered in 110 countries all over the world. Mm. This is actually the outcome which I like.
Okay. And from your perspective, what are you most proud of, Wayne, in manufacturing, or, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, from his microphones.
Apart from Tom's microphones. That's where
his new car.
Yeah.
Every time I visit, obviously I'm here a lot, Rad, but not obviously as much as Tom, but I always either see a new machine or a new technique. Mm. New technique, maybe it's how machines are being folded and welded to make them more reliable, make them more precise. That quality, we're always pushing the boundary. We don't just accept what we've done is always the right. We're always looking forward. The new techniques, the new efficiencies in production. For me, I've come from a technical background, so those bits excite me, and I'm proud to show customers when I'm walking around, look, that's how we do it. That's why we do it that way compared to other products in the market. That's what is unique about MKN.
Okay. So I'm going to come back and ask you another more formal question. We're going to get into a bit of a quick fire round and try, it's no waffle, it's just straight answers if you can give them to me, as quick as you, reasonably quick as you can. So I'll start with you, Tom. You're on death row, your last meal, what are you ordering?
Mexican tacos.
Typical fillet steak for me.
Chips, béarnaise sauce.
Yeah, absolutely. Full works.
Red wine, done. I don't drink red wine, but hey. One piece of kitchen equipment that you couldn't do without at home.
I mean, of course, a knife. I need a knife. A nice knife.
Yeah. Second person on the week running said that to me. Someone said a Japanese knife, which I love that. But
yeah, look, a good sharp knife. But if you ask my children, it's the air fryer now.
Interesting.
As I always say, it's the dishwasher because it's constantly on. But best meal you've ever eaten anywhere in the world?
I have to go again with Mexican tacos in Miami Beach.
Nice. It's a theme there.
For me, actually, it was a host. It was a seafood platter at Host in Milan.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Okay. It was very basic, but the quality of ingredients was just superb.
Favourite drink? Would it be tea, coffee, smoothie, a cocktail? What would it be?
Or just a ginger lemonade.
You can't say Jägermeister.
No. I'm healed of this. Ginger lemonade, my choice.
Okay.
Coke Zero. I'm probably addicted.
There you go. Most overrated food trend in the last decade. That's a tough one for you, Tom.
Food trend in the meaning of preparation or in the meaning of what the food is?
Either, like it may be in concept or what the food is, or like your style of service, whatever.
Okay, overrated sous vide cooking.
Sous vide cooking.
It's just too much for me. And from the food side, I would say, like this buffet restaurants where you go in the buffet and have done a lot of choice from Japanese over German and everything on one plate. So I don't like this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, look,
I love a buffet personally. But no, I'm joking.
I would say nothing overcomplicated. I think if you keep food simple, the ingredients talk for themselves.
Okay.
That's the one. I agree with Tom on the buffet. You end up putting too much on your plate and a mixture of, if I'm going to have a meal, I want a meal, not six meals with a mixture of everything on the
Someone
plate.
Someone said to me the other day, bubble tea, and I was like, I love bubble tea. Yeah. I don't know what the problem with that is. Why are you being so negative? They're everywhere. Vaping shops, it's not a food trend. You can go crazy with this. Mm-hmm. If you weren't in the food service industry, what would you be doing? What would be the dream?
Yeah, this is it's really, really a difficult question because I'm so much into the chef business and cooking business.
Oh, come on, a professional
sports,
athlete.
Yeah,
sports,
but in the meantime, I would say I would love to do something with sport equipment, but even on the sales side, I would say. I wouldn't say that I'm a sport...
You wouldn't be an athlete.
Yeah, for example, like...
Olympian.
Not Olympian. More than like a role model for surfing, something like this. No, I would be something with, you know, like a brand, like a cool brand with you know, some clothes.
He needs to watch Chariots of Fire. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Watch it.
Okay.
Chariots of Fire. It's about Olympians and.
It would be something to do with travel. Right. Okay. I've been fortunate enough to travel the world with my role, and yeah. And when it comes to holidays or people's holidays, it falls on my shoulders.
Yeah, so I enjoy. I know you got a good holiday coming up, but we'll
I have
get
indeed,
that.
Yeah,
keep that private, but well deserved as well. So last one, how would you describe your kitchen at home in three words?
Like a U.
What?
Like you, like, okay, like you, the letter, yeah, like yeah, the yeah, letter yeah. U, induction, and not very organized.
But I'm surprised.
Yeah, I know.
Very bad gentleman.
my wife is probably listening, so I have to be honest.
For me, I bought the house because of the kitchen.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough to have two Argas.
Okay.
And some larder ovens. The lady that owned the oven the house before me was a baker. So
right.
Yeah, I.
Oh wow!
It was the it was the attraction factor when
so
I purchased that.
It's a full yeah. girls bakery.
If I have all the ovens on in that kitchen, the ball trips.
Mint, love it. So I'm going to just. This is a question really to wrap us up today. And thank you for that. I think they were good answers. If we look forward. Let's say the next 5 years, you can go a bit further if you want. What major change do you see in the commercial catering equipment market?
I would say in the UK, I think that distributors are going to align themselves with brands more so.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at our particular market now, they sell everything. I think as we get more into technology, aligning with your top, middle and bottom and your categories will make sure you can provide outstanding customer
service.
Which
you've seen in other industries.
I
mean, cars, but other industries as well, even in retail, they're aligning closer to certain partners.
So I can see much more strategic alignment happening in the next years because of technology, the way that we're moving forward, when you serve as a kit, how you serve as a kit, how you look after it, programming, recipe development, it's all going to become integrated. And you're going to have to find the right partners to deliver that.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of happening already, I guess, but probably a bit more under the radar. You know, whereas if you look at, say, the car industry or pushbike industry or, I don't know, scooters, they're very bold in saying, oh, we do Piaggio, or we do Specialized, or we do Ford, or whatever, I don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. And the car industry as well. I mean, the car industry, I would say... The catering industry follows the trend of the car industry, probably 5 years gap.
Yeah.
But the way that the car industry works, we tend to follow that trend. Software telling you when you need car needs to be serviced.
I guess a lot of industries probably do already.
Correct.
Yeah.
I would say actually the same, but on a different way. I guess we will have a lot of changing with brands. I would guess we're losing some brands. I would guess we're losing some, you know, some factories because of the changing, because of people, and also, of course, of the changing of the habit, like cooking. So there will be a lot of changing, and it, for me, there's also a big discussion behind the scene here, and for me, AI will change everything.
Yes.
AI will change everything, even if you are not know what's happening right now. But like I said at lunch, I think AI will so much change even bigger than the internet started. So, and it will affect automatically. There will be a chef. Also, don't get me wrong. I don't see the robots at all. No. There will be a chef, but there will be much more different recipes, all the stuff, what's going on. There will be a lot of changing, and there will be a lot of changing in our industrial habits and in the companies as well.
Yeah. And I think there's a whole podcast there on that AI.
Of course.
I mean, that's a whole piece, isn't it?
And you have to see the whole one. I mean, we see just, we are the terming, you know, we are the cooking equipment side. See all the cool, see all the dishwashers, see all the stainless steels companies, see all what's going on over there. There will be a lot of changing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
For good and bad, I suppose. Well, that brings us to the end of the podcast, unfortunately.
I have a question for you at the end.
Absolutely.
Because you are here at the Christian Schnack as well. So,
give me the question.
You're doing the podcast also successfully, and I can just say to everybody, have a listen to this. And what is the motivation to put out a podcast? For you, you have to have a motivation to do a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. The podcast started like 2 and a bit years ago. And I just wanted something to, originally, to be honest, it was a bit of a marketing tool to sort of say, hey, look, I'm a consultant. This is what I do. And I understand the market. And so it was able to say, hopefully I understand what you want and what your problems are and give you a solution. So I just did 8 episodes, but a bit like what you said, that 8 episodes wasn't enough. It was going to be 8 episodes over 8 months.
More question.
It wasn't enough. And it just snowballed and suddenly it became 16 episodes. And then the next year became 24 episodes and so on. So it's that. And what... It's changed because in actual fact, I really enjoy it now. And in actual fact, I learn every single podcast I learn, even today I've learned. And last week I had Zest on and they produced this new wine cooler and I learned all about that technology. So it's been a two-pronged approach. It's educating people, hopefully giving people some information, giving some insight into our industry.
Entertaining,
connecting people. And then I'm also learning as well. So that has become the kind of motivation.
And what is the best listener? Is it the guy in the car or is it in the kitchen or is it the consulting which is listening to us in the while he is drawing? Or what is the best listener for you?
I think, look, we are predominantly for the food service equipment market. Mm-hmm. That's our core listener. That's who we want to... But obviously we get chefs listening and, of course, we welcome chefs and we get end users and we get... students at universities, I know they're listening because they've contacted me. But predominantly, I think people are listening to it in the car or in the workplace. You know, either they're CAD designing or they're walking between site visits or whatever. So, we're focused on food service equipment professionals. But, of course, we welcome everyone. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of our target audience. I had recently someone message me who listens to 10 episodes on a beach, you know, in Thailand. Great. I mean...
Must be Wayne.
Well,
I'm not taking the phone.
Well, anyway, that brings us to the end of Kitchen Curiosity and also the collaboration with Cushion Snack, if that's correct.
It's getting better day by day.
Tom, thank you for hosting us and having us here.
Thank you that you come here.
And Wayne as well.
Great privilege. Enjoyed it.
Good, fantastic. Okay. And obviously, thank you to the listeners, both shows and to the audiences. It's been interesting sitting down with Tom and seeing your approach. Although we have some similarities in our podcast, I think. And we'll see how that comes out. If you're new to the podcast, please subscribe or leave us a comment. If you want to pop me a message, questions you want me to ask in the future. If you want to hear more about MKN, you can go over to their website.
www.mkn.en.
There you are, from my assistant. And you can check out their podcast and also all the equipment they have. We've got coming up later in this year, we're actually going to be going over to Gulf Host in November. And we've got 2 episodes lined up. We may even have a third. So that's quite positive and lots more to come yet. I hope you've enjoyed today. I've been your host, Radford Chancellor, and you've been listening to Kitchen Curiosity.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is a Sound Rebel production.